Welcome on into the Arizona Media Podcast this week, and I've been wanting to have this guest in studio, but he's been really busy getting things off and running. We've been talking about The Athletic on our daily show over on the website, but The Athletic has come into the Valley and has really, in my view, opened up some eyes to what journalism is all about. Jay Diefenbach is in studio with us with The Athletic. You can go to theathletic.com, theathletic.com. Because it is all about, as I've said in the past, writing, having very good content, very good writers. Look, there's 162 baseball games. You don't need to get the game recap on 162 games instantaneous by somebody who's very talented and can go much deeper than that. So I wanted to have Jay come in studio. Your title with The Athletic is?
They call me the managing editor for The Athletic Arizona.
And you're doing more than that, though, aren't you? Not just Arizona?
Yeah, well, you mean The Athletic by itself or me?
Yeah, you.
Me? No. I'm trying to wrangle the Arizona angle of it and then promote all of our national work.
So your background, Jay, let's just get into the business side of it. Why this? What's your background in the industry?
Sure. Well, let's start pretty early on. The best job still that I've ever had, and this job is probably a close second right now, and moving up. But the best job was a media relations guy for the Seattle Sonics. You might remember that team. From there, I kind of got hooked that you could actually work for a sports franchise or work in sports and get paid for it. Mm-hmm. So from then on, it went from horse racing to editing horse racing to public relations in horse racing and other sports, and then a little sidetrack to be an NBC page. And then back to sports, where I worked for the Daily Racing Form. They moved out to Phoenix from L.A., and then I joined the Arizona Republic in 1999 and became the editor for Pro Sports in about 2003 or so, and had been doing that up until a couple of months ago when this opportunity came
up. And along the way, full disclosure, you met your wife in the industry.
Yeah, my wife is Paula Boven. She is an Arizona Sports Hall of Famer and a friend of the program.
And just a Hall of Famer in person.
Sure.
In general.
Absolutely.
So Jay's background is one of, and I've known Jay as long as I've known Paula, about, I can't say exact dates and all that. And this seems to me, not that you and I have talked in depth about this, but turning the page and very refreshing and liberating. Is that the best way to put this?
Well, it's definitely something I've always kind of wanted to do, is pursue the major sports. And not have to worry, no offense, not have to worry about, you know, off-road racing and, high school badminton and things like that. I'm really interested in pro sports and all of the different storylines that come out of it. I mean, we also have our major college sports, too. Doug Haller will be covering the Arizona State football team and basketball team, and also will be working as a hybrid with the University of Arizona basketball as well.
So let's get into this, the whole idea of why Arizona, why now? The Athletic has been up and running for over a year. I was a subscriber on day one. The Athletic, to me, is like back in the day, there was the National, and then USA Today was kind of different, and all of those have morphed. It doesn't mean that they're bad or that anything's changed, just the industry has changed, and writers still want to write. So why Arizona as the market to come into?
Well, as you know, Arizona is number 6 or 7 nationally in terms of size. I mean, Phoenix area. And I think most organizations, among them the NHL, they really want to exploit this area. And it was a natural fit when they went and expanded. I think a year ago they had 4 pro sports cities. Now they're fleshed out 32. So rapid growth, no question about it. The why is, well, why not? I mean, clearly there's a market here. There's a lot of very intelligent sports fans who want deeper reads on things, and sometimes it's not always available. Sometimes people are hamstrung by deadlines and things like that, but really what we want to do is get out in front and tell those deeper stories, where we give our reporters a real nice cushion of reporting time.
So in this case, and you go, once you run through the roster, first of all, because I'll go through it, and in each one, what they're going to be doing and why them for that spot.
Sure. Let's start with the NHL. Craig Morgan, longtime Valley writer, Covered just about everything. He is on the Coyotes as our beat writer. He's obviously well-established, has great contacts within
passionate.
The organization.
Very
much so. Bright guy, terrific writer, and a clean writer, which is good for an editor. We have a contributor on the Coyotes as well. Her name's Catherine Silverman. She's an expert on goalies. She's a Canadian by blood and just absolutely knows hockey front and back. And she'll be giving us at least one or two stories a week in addition to Craig's 4 or 5 days a week daily coverage. College front, I mentioned Doug Haller. He is the premier sports voice on college football here in the Valley. He also has always been an athletic type writer in that he explores those kind of quirky, off the beaten path stories.
More than game stories.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He will find a little string of a story and he'll pursue that and tell an expanded version of it. He has a Arizona State defensive coordinator Danny Gonzalez story, how that union came to be. It's fascinating, and he goes behind the scenes and talks to so many people who are involved in everything. So he'll do a terrific job and has already. Then, like I mentioned, he will do ASU basketball and UA basketball.
And football.
Right now he's basically doing ASU football solo because there's just too many storylines to pursue without having to go down to Tucson and do some of that. When stories come up for UA football, we will endeavor to cover that as much as possible, but with a sort of a limited staff and resources to start, we're sticking him on ASU football and then a hybrid with the basketball.
It's not like Herm doesn't fill a notebook.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then we have longtime Valley sports writer Scott Bordeaux, who moved over to cover the NFL, and he is our Cardinals writer. We have C.J. Holmes, who is a contributor and full-time staff writer on the Cardinals as well. He played basketball at Auburn, and he wrote about the football team while he was there.
That's cool.
He's got a ton of interesting young person type takes on things and brings a real fresh voice to our coverage. And right now we've stuck him on the Cardinals as a second writer. Really excited to see where his ideas take us. He's an interesting young guy. Then for the Suns, we brought Gina Mizell aboard. She was the Denver Nuggets beat writer last season.
Good get. Somebody who was here.
Yeah, you know a little bit about
her. Yeah, she spread her wings and got out and then she goes to Denver, and just from afar, it's okay. You could either stay in Denver or you can come back here. So.
Right. Yep, and she, before that, covered Oregon State football, so she's seen the brightest and the dullest of stories. But she can tell a good story, So and that's why we love her. And she'll hit the ground running when the Suns open camp with Media Day on the 24th. That's a week from today. Alongside Gina, we're working and expect to have an announcement within a week or so about a secondary Suns writer. I think that's going to be pretty well received here, too. Then, let's see, we have football, baseball. Zach Buchanan on the Diamondbacks has done a terrific job, and he was your first guy.
Yeah.
He's been very lonely all summer.
Yeah.
We didn't get the Arizona contingent up and running until a couple, 3 weeks ago, and Zach's been doing a terrific job. Some of the stories he's written have just been really deep, interesting dives. And the most recent of which talks about what happened to the Diamondbacks defense. It was on a record pace a while ago, and now they're among the worst in the league, and things just even out in baseball. Like you mentioned, it's a long season.
Well, it's when you have interesting stories and interesting personalities, as we have right now, even though the football team is as dull as a white wall, and they still have some angles there for Scott to go dive into. So I want to get into that about process. There's people that listen to this, people that watch it, and they want to know, how do you go about, and I've had young writers, I've taught at Cronkite, and I've had some of those writers that have gone on, and they've called me and said, what do you think about The Athletic, and so on and so forth. So what is it that you're looking for in terms of process in a young writer or established writers as you open this? Because you have a mixture of both.
Right. Yeah, the main thing is find the story and don't be hung up by play-by-play and things that just have to get in there. Think about like a notebook. We don't need notebook items. We don't need that he's day-to-day. We don't need that this guy may come back. We're assuming that the Athletic, the readers, the consumers of our product, already know the basic nuts and bolts.
You don't have now, to say that DJ Humphries is a left tackle.
Exactly.
They already know that.
Now it's so it's not to replace any coverage that Valley readers and consumers are currently getting. That's not our mission. Our mission is to give a complement to all of that coverage. It's to give readers a deeper dive, more expansive stories, and to give our writers, you know, certainly more reporting time. A couple of times, CJ, for instance, we've gone back and forth with, you know what, hold off. Wait until you get a chance to talk to this person or that mm-hmm. person. Go back out there and see if you can get a couple more voices. If it turns out that there's a story here, great. If not, we'll move on to the next thing. So really, there's no pressure to turn something quickly.
In that space, writers are used to being on that deadline. Mm. So do you have to coach it out of them in your space?
Yeah, no question about it. And everyone's well aware of it. It's like when somebody says, Brad, you know you have a problem, you're like, I already know I have a problem. I already know what my problems are, A, B, C. I'm working on them. So it's a collaborative effort. I can say, hey, you know that we don't need he carried the ball 12 times for 19 yards, right? You know we don't need that. We know everybody already knows that. Yeah, just delete it, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So in that process, there is a certain amount of coaching, but it's not a surprise to the writers. They know the mission. It's just a matter of adapting to it.
When you get a piece of copy from them, do you go back to them if there's major changes? Do you make those changes? Walk the listener through that, how that works in your role and the relationship you have of give and take.
Well, it starts with knowing the path they're pursuing before the reporting process begins. Here are some things that you might be looking for going into this game or going into this availability. What time do you expect to have it? When's your last interview? Let me know when you're going to make it available. I'll take a look. We can go over point by point. Once in a while, in a situation like this, it will be necessary to kind of mark up the copy and send it back and like, no, we need voices here, we need voices there, we need a different path here. But for the most part, I mean, I'm really happy with the stable of writers that we have. Mm-hmm. And I trust them more to be the point person on a story. They know more than anyone what's available out there, who the targets should be, what the prime storylines are. And they're all very good at bouncing ideas off of me. A lot of times I'll get two paragraphs and then at the end, thoughts.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the process.
Do they have to bounce it off of you in order for them to go pursue, or do they go pursue and then bounce it off of you?
A lot of times they don't need permission to pursue anything. What we want to make sure that everything is done above board. We don't want to try to circumvent any public relations or media relations people. As you know, that can be a problem. Mm-hmm. With our access, we're working very well with all of the teams with which we're associated, so that's not a problem. So the writer goes off and kind of sees what storylines might be available that week. I, at the beginning of the week, will often shoot them, hey, here's three or four things I'm seeing, mm-hmm. But let me know what you decide on. And every once in a while, there'll be something that I want them to pursue earnestly. But for the most part, no, I'm trusting the writers.
When do you stand up to a media relations person and say, we're going to go do this, whether you like it or not? Do you do that? Have you had to do that?
No, very rarely is there a problem. These people in town are all pros. I mean, you've dealt with all of them. They're as long as we, you know, kind of let them know what we're doing ahead of time, they're in contact with our writers because they're always there. Mm-hmm. And while we do want to break occasional news,
sure,
when it happens, the real mission is tell the deeper story. So a lot of times we'll want the media relations people to know what we're doing in case they have other tips and suggestions. So it's a pretty good relationship.
Got it. TheAthletic.com, you can go subscribe to at TheAthletic.com. Jay Diefenbach in studio with us. When you first were, I shouldn't assume this, did they contact you, you contact them? What were your initial thoughts? Was this something in the back of your mind, even when this first started, of, oh, this could be kind of interesting?
Yeah, I was interested from the get-go, mainly because I kind of wanted to, you know, I was the editor for Pro Sports at the Republic, but I didn't feel I had complete autonomy, and my job description said I didn't have complete autonomy.
Right.
And that's fine. That's totally understandable. I appreciate everything that was given me there. But having my own stable of writers, it was really appealing. And then the more I looked into The Athletic, like you said, and just, you know, taking a look at the clean presentation, it's a really, for an older guy like me, it's a really clean presentation and comfortable experience on that website. Mm-hmm. No ads, no pop-ups, you know, no whack-a-mole. You don't have to X out everything right while you're reading it. It's just a really nice experience, and making it that much better is the incredible stable of writers that we have locally and nationally. I mean, we have, you know, David Aldrich and Jay Glazer and some of the very best storytellers across all of the major sports and the NCAA as well.
Do you think, Jay, that this is where it's going to go? So as you and I look in here as consumers of it, you've been on the print side, I've been on the radio and TV side, and everybody's trying to figure it out. The National, when it came along, was so out front.
I interviewed there.
And I was on that from day one because
yeah.
I'm a consumer in that. I still go to ussportspages.com. Unfortunately, I go to ussportspages.com and I see this page no longer exists in a lot of spaces.
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm wondering is for writers and for people like yourself that love the art, is this where it's going to go? Is it going to morph into something else? We don't know, but this seems like the best chance. This is funded by a couple of people up in the Bay Area, for people that aren't aware of the backstory of this. So I guess I'm just wondering, do you believe this is the best shot for writers? It is right now. Is this the one long term?
Well, I think you'd have to go to the consumer, and the idea that The Athletic is meeting people where they want with what they want and in the mode they want. The problem with The National, obviously, was distribution.
Yeah.
You had to send newspapers out. Well, here, they just need a phone. And you grab our app, and off you go. Now you have access to all of our content. And right now, you know, $3.49 a month isn't a lot. And a free trial offer, too, by the way.
Yeah, there you go. Look it in.
So yeah, I think this is a natural progression. I think there's such a wide menu of sports choices. I mean, people who are, there's, as you know, millions who will continue to get the hard copy newspaper. I'm one of them. I will continue to get it just because of the comfort it brings me sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That said, the next generation is going to be reading by their phones, and they're going to be looking at shiny things and saying, oh my gosh, what's over here? What's over here? Well, if you look over here, you'll find yourself, I think, really engrossed in a lot of our content.
What do you have to hit in terms of, and if you can't get into this, I understand, but I have to ask a question. What is the expectation in terms of people subscribing in Arizona?
Well, I don't know if I'm at liberty to say this yet, but a huge question mark was, how is this ever going to be profitable? You've hired so many writers in such a short time, and subscriptions just absolutely cannot match this and blah, blah, blah. I've been told that our original launch in the Bay Area is already profitable.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and they've landed Tim Kawakami and some very, very talented people.
That happened really quick, and a lot quicker than a lot of cynics gave it a chance.
Warriors, though, winning. So I'm going to play the other side of the street on this. And we have a football team here that's 0-2 that's just dreadful, right? This is a town of, let's just say, front runners. Fans like a winner here in Phoenix. Bay Area is kind of different, right? I mean, so I understand the trepidation on that. I guess, can you make it work in a market that is very transitory? that is one that follows front-running teams? And if those front-running teams don't win, how do you make it work?
Yeah, it's a great question. And by no means was I comparing Phoenix with San Francisco.
No,
in terms
no,
of
no, but it's out there.
But I will say that when a team fails as spectacularly as the Cardinals have been failing, they become interesting. And it's on
the car crash.
Exactly. And it's on our people to find those stories within there and tell those stories so that people will continue to be interested in your car crash analogy. So the transient nature also plays to our strength, because when you subscribe to The Athletic AZ, you get everything nationally. There's a really clean bar at the top of our website that you can click on my city, my team, my sport, mm-hmm. pull down, and all of a sudden you've got a web page devoted solely to that interest. And yeah, so if people are moving here from Michigan or Ohio or whatever, if they're, God forbid, Cubs fans,
yeah.
there's plenty to read nationally with that subscription. You're not paying any more than what you're paying to sign up for The Athletic AZ. It's the same price.
Subscription model versus advertiser model. Obviously, I'm going advertiser model, different space entirely
Absolutely.
Than what you're doing. But it's going back and forth on that. How did they come up with subscription?
I can't speak for them, but from my standpoint, it's when you're talking about a website, you ask the consumer, what is your biggest gripe? And you know what the biggest gripe is? It's advertising. And it's like people say, well, how can you have so much advertising on you? They listened and they said, you know what? We'll see if people put their money where their mouths are. We'll eliminate the advertising, the annoying pop-ups, and we'll ask for a subscription. And we'll see how that plays out. I mean, we're still really young, so that's the plan. I mean, different advertising plans for different companies, certainly. For this one, I think it really makes sense to just see how far we can take the subscription model.
Jay's got swag on. Go ahead. That's pretty good.
It's a good-looking shirt.
Yeah, I like that. In terms of young writers, because we get young people that do listen to this, and they want to be in that space of The Athletic, hey, look at me over here. Are you interested in hiring me? What advice would you give them for those that are 3, 4, 5 years out of college? Because you have established pros that you've brought in. Doesn't mean that you wouldn't look at somebody, right? I don't want to put words
no.
in your mouth.
No, we have a ton of contributors who are fresh out of college. In fact, a couple of people that I worked with this summer wrote on the East Coast, I think, for Boston, and he was still in college. Mm-hmm. So not at all. I think my advice would be read great writing, read great sports writing, but read great writing, read books, see how words and sentences are put together, write cleanly. You already have a passion for sports if you're into this business. You're already fully immersed. You're ready to go. You want to tell great stories. Now, refine your craft. Mm-hmm. You know, get in there and read great writing, read long stories, read books, and continue to write every day.
And find those people to mentor.
Certainly. Yeah. Brad Sessmann is a terrific mentor.
Yeah, no, whatever. But you've got to have those people too, right? I mean, as The Athletic structure is, walk me through that. Who do you talk to about what's going on here?
Besides you?
Besides me. I mean, at The Athletic, are there people at The Athletic that you've got to report to and say, this is what we're doing out here?
Oh,
we want more of this, more of that.
Yeah, not necessarily. It's sort of a... We're still in the process of launching the Arizona site, kind of seeing what sticks. Hockey has been really, really well received, by the way, just in terms of this Coyotes fandom that they believe has been underserved. And
well, it has been. So let's just take that. I'm not on the Athletic's payroll. It's been completely underserved. When you eliminate beat writers and you let very talented people go off to Minneapolis, it's underserved. So
interesting. But in terms of that, it didn't make business sense to devote a lot of resources to the Coyotes necessarily. Now we're saying, Coyotes fans, are you with us? And they have said very loudly, we're with you. And Craig himself has driven a ton of subscriptions already. Mm-hmm. And we're finding that the Coyotes fan base is speaking and they really love the product we're putting out there. So along with ASU and of course the NFL and very soon the NBA, we're going to be making a nice footprint, I think.
MLS?
No, thanks.
Okay.
I mean, there is soccer on the national site, and I think a lot of people will be happy with the international soccer coverage that we have. Could things change if the Rising suddenly becomes an NFL or an MLS team? Yeah, absolutely. We will grab hot button topics, subjects, and teams if they are similar to what the Coyotes are doing. You know, it's like people said, oh, hockey in the desert, please. Well, now there's a business model that says, yeah. So MLS, sure, we'll see. WNBA, sure, we'll see. You know, it's a matter of right now we're going with the routes that we know are established and we'll have success. And great stories drive our product. So,
yeah, in the early going, I'll let you go off this. In the early going, has anything surprised you in terms of what you've seen people gravitate towards? You've only been at it for a couple of weeks, right? So you only have a couple of weeks size sample, but you know what, Brad, I'm kind of pleased with what I'm seeing on this front or that front early on.
Yeah, I think I can't really speak to the Arizona front other than to say that, you know, the Coyotes numbers have not only met but exceeded our expectations early. The other ones are doing just fine. Mm-hmm. You know, Doug Haller's doing great stuff with ASU, of course. But nationally, the ability for our national editors to assign out really compelling stories across the national beats. Ken Rosenthal with his baseball notes. I mean, David Aldrich is going to have NBA just nailed. I mean,
Davis does basketball.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you see, you've got
Stuart Mandel.
Yeah, Stuart does his thing, and mm-hmm. we've had Stuart on the TV show, and he's pumped The Athletic. So, yeah. You know, there's people that you want to dive into each day to see where are they at on this front. Well, good stuff.
So it's working, and there's something out there for every sports fan, especially the sports fan who does enjoy reading for more than 9 seconds. You know, they can get into it, and they can uncover things, and they can learn. And it's a really nice platform.
Are you seeing, I said the last question, I will make this just interesting to me. Are you seeing the Republic or other media outlets respond and react to The Athletic?
No, not at this point. I think everyone's just kind of taking a wait and see. But the reality is, again, that we are not trying to replace anything here in the Valley. We are trying to act as a complement. Like, here's a little extra for you. It's a definite must-have if you're a Valley sports fan, because you will get deeper stories off of each sport that you follow. But it's not meant to replace the day-to-day coverage.
Jay Diefenbach, theathletic.com. You can get in the subscription rate, theathletic.com. Jay Diefenbach on this week's Arizona Media Podcast.